The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Judeans, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced and saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord. Now, before we think and feel our way through our gospel today, I invite you to notice what is happening in you while you're listening. Feel free to get up, walk around, leave and come back, stretch and recenter. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Dear sisters and brothers, today is the Sunday that was designated to be Blue Sunday, a day of prayer for children who are experiencing abuse right now, and for those who help them. It is a day of prayer also for those adults who suffered abuse when they were children, and for all who have survived, live with the wounds, and are healing. Now, most of you know that I'm a chaplain and I work at McLean Hospital. It won't surprise you that many of the people who I'm privileged to meet have experienced emotional, psychological, physical, and spiritual abuse in their childhood. Childhood abuse is associated with many physical and psychological symptoms and diagnoses like depression, anxiety, disordered eating, post-traumatic stress, substance use, personality disorders, and other psychological and physical conditions. Studies have shown that spirituality is a helpful resource for dealing with various types of trauma. In my experience as a chaplain, spirituality and religion are helpful for some. For others, faith is lost because of traumatic experiences. Here are some voices, changed and obfuscated to conceal identities. A woman says, "I knew my earthly father didn't love me, but I also knew that my heavenly father does. It takes all the faith I have to break the cycle with my children. My daughter and I make a gratitude list every day. It helps." A queer gendered person says, "I never understood what Easter is about, but when you said that Good Friday is about contemplating suffering and pain, Holy Saturday about hanging in, and Easter Sunday about new beginnings and new life, that makes some sense. I wish someone had explained it to me in that way before." A woman in her 30s says, "I survived so far because of my faith." A 21-year-old says, "I go to church, but I can't sit still and I can't listen to the sermon. It's too boring. But I like singing hymns. Singing in community is cool. It helps me get rid of my anxiety. I like karaoke for the same reason. Singing hymns in church helps, and it's not terrible if I don't hit every note." A man says, "I was raped by my father. My mother did nothing. I don't know about forgiveness. I struggled all my life. But when I told the priest everything, including alcohol, sex, drugs, lying, stealing, he didn't judge. He just listened. I asked if he can forgive me, and he said, 'God forgives you. I have nothing to do with it.' Then I went to communion and I sobbed like a kid. It changed me. It's a miracle." A staff member says, "When I was hiding under the bed, I heard a different kind of commotion around me one day. I guess someone finally called social services. A social worker found me and gently pulled me out from under the bed. She saved me. That was my Easter morning. So I became a social worker. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen
indeed. Hallelujah." You know, proclaiming the resurrection of Christ is a post-traumatic growth response. Let me explain. Imagine Jesus's friends. They have witnessed Jesus being abused and beaten, his body broken and his soul abandoned. They watched helplessly and terrified. And our text describes their stress response. The doors of the house were locked for fear. They were out of their mind with fear. How does this experience of Jesus's friends speak to survivors of childhood abuse? Think about the group of the disciples as one communal body, if you will, as one person in the story, as one actor with multiple identities in one identity, as many in one. Think of them as a survivor. Think about the group of the disciples and notice in yourself that you actually have multiple selves inside of you too. There's the one who denied. There's the one who was betrayed. There's the one who would do anything to be loved. One who follows in blind trust. And one who has fallen silent. There's the angry one who tried to attack, and there's the one who cannot stop crying, and one who has stopped feeling anything. There is one who feels hated and hates. There's one who can't stop catastrophizing and one who always feels separate and other. There's one who keeps beating up on himself because he couldn't stop it. And one who feels guilty for surviving. And these are the same disciples who follow Jesus. These are the same people who were unafraid to ask questions, be curious and spontaneous. They are the same friends that trusted Jesus and wanted to be with him. They are the same people who loved to learn and took in every word they were taught. Now they can't concentrate. Now their minds are numb. Now they are locked in a house that has become a tomb. Surviving childhood abuse can mean living with fear and terror, anger and rage, sorrow and shame. And all those experiences live in the body. There are the obvious violations of a child's body. And then there are the less obvious ways bodies are impacted. Brain chemistry, neurological pathways, hormone levels like escape and stress hormones, adrenaline and cortisol. Thinking, feeling, behaving reveals that something's happened. Childhood abuse, obviously, is a bodily experience. And our gospel says Jesus came and stood among them. This is physical. This is about skin and bones. This is about Jesus's body and the disciples' body. This is also about the church's body and about standing with and among those whose bodies have suffered in solidarity, welcome, and compassion. Do you believe in the bodily resurrection? Tough question. Do you believe in the transformation of bodies? Do you believe in the healing of persons? Do you affirm that every human being can experience redemption in their body? Do you believe in the Spirit's breath that brings new life to the bones that were crushed? Ezekiel 37. Can you join and proclaim in boldness? Christ has died. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Let's try this again. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Alleluia. Jesus, who himself was traumatized, is alive and at peace. Jesus is alive. He shows up in the same body that was and still is wounded. Mind you, the next text, our text speaks about the wounds. It doesn't talk about scars. When Jesus shows his friends his wounds, they recognize him. This is how they get to experience new life. By taking the invitation to see the wounds rather than to avoid and deny that they're there. This is how we get to have new life. And as we proclaim the resurrection of Christ, we learn to hold and talk about all kinds of suffering in the church. We're really good about talking about illness, poverty, social injustice, sometimes, and death and dying, of course. We're not that good about talking about childhood abuse. And we can learn by touching the wounds, we can learn to break the silence about the wounds caused by child abuse. We become Christ's redeemed body that includes all when we proclaim, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Jesus breathes his spirit on us, and the resurrected life comes without conditions. New life without conditions. Jesus even empowers the disciples to forgive or retain the sins of any. Forgiveness is not a condition for new life and healing, but it may come as a result of healing. And then there's Thomas. Thomas, the doubting one. We all need him. He's crucial. He holds my doubt in the bodily resurrection. And he holds the part of me that isn't quite so quick to believe and trust. People who have experienced childhood abuse don't trust easily. Why would they? Those who were supposed to be trustworthy were not. Now, compassion is possible for those who harmed them, but trust is a whole different story. You see, trust is tested reality. Thomas, I love him. He wants to check. He wants to check things out and stick his hands in Jesus' wounds. Because in the touching that Thomas wants and Jesus invites, there's redemption of touch. Touching is redeemed by showing and accepting the wounds. Childhood abuse causes wounds in a person. Those wounds show, and often people turn away. But it is by touching those wounds, creating a safe space to reveal them, and experiencing that nothing catastrophic happens, that redemption is possible. Jesus is a wounded person. We have a wounded Savior. Jesus is a resurrected body. We have a Savior who gives new life. Jesus is the Redeemer of touch, who makes love possible again. He invites appropriate touch to restore trust. He also expects that the other disciples don't want to touch. Thank you very much. He invites Thomas to experience his wounds, Thomas's wounds, as Jesus' wounds. This is appropriate touch, redeemed curiosity, endless love. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. I want to leave you with a survivor's creed. Was written by Jennifer Baldwin. I believe, survivors of trauma, in the promise of strength and resiliency. I believe in God, divine energy and presence, who draws into order the waters of the deep. Spirit hovering in communion, present at the gift of creation, vivifying breath to the good and the loved human. I believe in Jesus the Christ, fully self-led and vision of optimal relationality, who experienced the full weight of trauma, disconnected from the source of life, resurrected, renewed, and offering the spirit of life. I believe in the welcoming of all parts, the honor of the body, the grace of companionship, the healing of wounds, the resurrection of the exiles, and the renewal of authentic life. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.